Thanks, Matt, Josh, and Angie, and Melody, and Lawrence, and Dakota. Thank you very much for preparing my heart for this time in the Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, grab your bulletins, as it'll be in there as well. Luke chapter 11, as we conclude our series that we started in August on prayer and Jesus' teachings to his learners, his disciples, about prayer. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5, after verses 2 through 4, was the model prayer. Jesus shares this story. He says, "And he said to them, 'Which one of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me some loaves, 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children with me in bed. I cannot get up and give him anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend. But because of his impudence or persistence, he will rise up and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I don't know about you, but I long for a deep and meaningful prayer life. I would hope that as I've been preaching through this disciples' prayer, that somehow it would just magically make my prayer life be deeper. Well, I can tell you that I've learned a lot and been convicted a lot, but yet I still long for a deep, deep prayer life. A couple quotes that I found at the very beginning of this sermon, and I want to just kind of start out this introduction as bringing us back to where we're at with verses 5 through 13. Oswald Chambers said this in a quote, if you remember back 5 weeks ago: "Prayer does not fit us for a greater work. Prayer is the greater work." Now, as we have studied these verses, as we have studied this model prayer, do you not understand now how much of a greater work God desires to do in you through prayer? Prayer itself is not the greater work, or does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the work in you, the great work in you. E.M. Bounds, remember, said this: "No learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack." Paul, remember, exhorts the churches in Thessalonica and in Colossae to devote ourselves to prayer in Colossians 4:2. And in Thessalonians 5:17, never to cease without praying. As we've studied this prayer that Jesus is teaching his disciples, you can see why it's so important within a body of Christ, or within you as an individual, as you walk with Christ, how important it is to not model, in a sense, repetitiously pray this prayer, but as a posture, as an attitude, how your prayer should be centered on making God famous. Prayer is a lifting up your soul to God. Prayer is pouring out your heart to God. Prayer is crying for help to the God who can help. God's desire is for you to communicate with Him. Like anybody would want to communicate with someone who they want a deep relationship with. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father," Abba in Aramaic, Daddy. God is not distant from us. He's not unapproachable from us. He's our daddy. But never forget, He is not like a human father. He is holy. He is perfect. Never forget who you are approaching and the glory He deserves. So you come, "Oh, Father, Daddy, hallowed be Your name. I know who I'm coming to. I know who's in control. And I want Your will to be done as I pray. I want You to be made famous as I'm praying my requests to You. I want to testify of Your grace when I fall. I want to testify of Your grace in victory, because it's all about You, Jesus." We pray dependence. "Give us each day our daily bread." This isn't about just food, though we do have a need for food and water. Jesus says He is our daily need. Never forget that. As you remember your daily needs, you need to be reminded of your complete dependency on God for everything. Remember what He said in John chapter 6? "He is our food. Those who eat on Him will never be hungry again. Those of you who have trusted in the name of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls and the turning from your sins have tasted and seen that He is good." Amen? Amen? We have learned that He wants to come to us naked and exposed and transparent. "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indeed to us or indebted to us." This shows our transparency before God. As He has forgiven you, He is exposing us. He's saying, "Listen, as I have forgiven you, you too forgive others." And how dare we approach the throne of grace and not extend grace to others? This was a pride check. To hate your brother and your sister, to hate and then to go before God and expect some sort of result, is not to go to Him transparently, understanding your absolute need for Him. And then lastly, again, this is all part of the intro. Hang on. But those of you who haven't been here, praise the Lord, we're doing an intro here. And lastly, last week, "And lead us not into temptation." Last week was a reminder that God, without God leading us, without the constant reminder in our prayers that sin is absolutely destructive in every facet of our lives. And it's not something to be messed with. It is something that you put God before it. Whatever tempts you, you must address that apart from God working in your life, you will fall. Oh, but by the grace of God, He will pick you up Amen? So now we come to verses 5, and really I'm going to go through verse 10. We look at that model prayer. It's not a prayer to be repeated per se, but more of a posture, your attitude, your understanding of who you are praying to on a daily basis. It's a guide to your prayer life. So we come to this passage this morning, and I see Jesus shares this story. And I got to thinking, why does he have to share this story in regards to praying to God? And I got to think that it's because oftentimes, and maybe you're like me, but we see the amazing prayer that Jesus teaches us, and we think, well, I'm kind of afraid to pray all the time. I don't want to bother God with my trivial things. Only for the big things will I bother God. I mean, he's holy. He's amazing. And the desire for God to work in my heart, I'm only going to save it for the big things. We don't want to be an inconvenience to God. Jesus is teaching his disciples how important prayer is because he's been doing it his whole ministry. And no doubt our reflection or his disciples are like, wow, this is huge. This is powerful. I'll just come to him with big things. I think Jesus could read their hearts. I obviously know that Jesus can read their hearts, but I believe that he is saying, listen, if you think you're bothering God, you're not. Verses 5 through 7, he gives this illustration. He says, which one of you has a friend that will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For I have a friend of mine who has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. You see the inconvenience that's taking place? They're coming to him, to this friend, at midnight. Everyone's in bed. If you were a Jewish home, just to give a little context here, typically, Jews lived in the top level of their house. So you would have had to come downstairs to the door. Now, typically, all the family lived in one room. And so, yes, the children would be in the room. The parents would be in the room. Everyone would be in the room, not only for security, but for warmth. They didn't have heating and air conditioning. When it was cold, the family would sleep close together. And so if someone was knocking at 12 a.m., I don't know about you, but I have a baby. We have a baby. It better be quiet as a mouse when Lainey is sleeping. Right? We don't want anything to wake her up because we could use at least a couple hours of peace. All of a sudden, Quinlan! Stop! Don't move. Don't breathe. Lainey is sleeping. Do you see the inconvenience that Jesus is illustrating here? Oftentimes we would come to Jesus and we're like, maybe it's just not the appropriate time to come to God about this. This is very inconvenient to be going to God. Maybe that's what you're thinking in your own prayer life. The rest of these verses, in verses 8 through 10, I see two things that Jesus is teaching us. And an explanation not to worry. Not to worry about inconveniencing God with your prayers. The first thing I think he wants us to know is this. Go to God boldly. That's why I love that song, Nat, that you chose out. It's exactly right. God wants us to come to him boldly. Look at verse 8 with me again. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence. Some of your translations may say persistence. King James says importunity. We don't really use that word a lot. It really stresses, it's a deeper word for boldness. The NIV says, you come with shameless audacity. Jesus is saying, you go to God boldly. With everything. Why was this person's prayer answered? Because he knew the guy would answer. See, in the Jewish tradition, hospitality was a very big deal. And oftentimes, journeymen would come from all times of night. And so, being that you were a Jewish family, hospitality meant everything to you. As people would stay, they could stay for a long period of time, at any time of the night. Now, was it inconvenient? Probably. But this friend knew he could knock on the door of his friend because he would answer. Not because he wanted to, but he could do it boldly because he knew he would answer. Jesus is saying, listen, you go to God at midnight. You go to him at 2 a.m. You go to him all throughout the day because you know he will answer. You know he is listening. He is always there. Listen, because you can come to God boldly at any time of the night, this doesn't mean it's a license to ask him for anything that you want. Remember, this is coming on the heels of verses 2 through 4, which is the absolute posture and attitude by which you should be praying to God, which is what? Make him famous. If your prayer life is asking God, I want you to be famous. Thank you for providing. Help me in my sin. Help me to make you famous. Then listen, you go to him boldly. This isn't about asking for a car or a boat. This is about knowing that God's going to answer your prayer because it's a prayer that's making him famous. That's a healthy prayer life. Not only do I see that he wants you to go to God boldly, persistently, with shameless audacity, like, can you believe you're speaking to God at 2 a.m? Yes! You can. But not only that, he wants you to go to him frequently. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me again. And I tell you. Now, I love that phrase. It's the Greek word lego. It's in an emphatic position. In a sense, he's saying, I command you. Who's commanding, by the way? Okay, the answer is always Jesus, right? Listen, understand the emphatic. Now listen, I'm telling you. He is saying emphatically, I am commanding you. What is he commanding us to do? I command you with three imperative verbs. Imperative in the present, imperative, which is keep on asking, keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. He is emphatically commanding us to go to him all the time, boldly. Not only boldly, but frequently. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. This is the God of the universe. This is the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, commanding you to talk to him frequently, boldly. The word ask literally means, it's kind of like saying, okay, hey, it's me, God. Frequently talking to him, God, it's me again. God, I'm coming to you again. The word seek, it's a Greek word. It literally means, I'm demanding now, God. Can you believe that Jesus is saying you can make demands to him? Now again, remember, verses 2 through 4 gives you the posture and attitude by which you should be praying. And so what he's saying is, if you have that posture, if you have that attitude, you demand. Keep demanding. Be persistent. Have a shameless audacity to come boldly through him frequently. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The word knocking there literally means to bang. Bang on heaven's doors. At 2 a.m. Bang on heaven's door during your lunch hour at work. Bang on heaven's door on your car ride to work. Bang on heaven's door in the shower. Bang on heaven's door, Jesus is saying. Frequently. Frequently. Not a license to ask what you want, but a license to give him glory. A license to ask God to guard your heart from sin. A license to ask God for things that will glorify him. And if the answer is no, that's okay. Amen? That's okay. Can you believe that we can approach God this way? Look at David in Psalm 102, verses 1 and 2. Listen as he keeps asking, keeps seeking, keeps knocking. Listen to boldness. Listen to this frequency, because psalms are not only prayers, but they're songs. But listen, he says it's in a prayer of an afflicted man when he is faint, and he pours out his complaint before the Lord. He says this, "Hear my prayer." What audacity, David. Who are you to ask God to hear your prayer? If it's in line with God's will, you go boldly in prayer. "Hear my prayer," David says, "O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide." What audacity. "Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call." This is a man who is a man after God's own heart. Isn't that what Acts 13, verse 22 says? A man after God's own heart is crying this way. Are you? Look at Psalm 143, verse 1. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ears to my pleas of mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness." Verse 7 says, I didn't put that up there, but it says, "Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit's failing, Lord." Who is this guy? This is David. A man after God's own heart. Listen, follower of Jesus Christ, go to him. The Bible says that God never rests. Psalm 121, verse 4. "He neither sleeps nor slumbers." He never rests. He is always available. That's our God. As we come to this little story, Jesus knows our hearts. He knows that when we come to God, we're a little sheepish. We're a little bit just nervous. We don't want to inconvenience God with the small stuff. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, you go to him. You go to him boldly and you go to him frequently. With a posture of heart and prayer that wants to glorify him, and God is ready to listen at any time. Isn't that good? Follower of Jesus Christ, isn't that good? John MacArthur said this, and I really appreciate this. He says, "Prayer is the means by which God's infinite wisdom, infinite power, and perfect purpose are brought together to accomplish his will." You can't be saved without believing. You can't be sanctified without obeying. And you can't enjoy the goodness of God in life without participating in his unfolding purpose through prayers and through your service to him. listen, prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's not about changing God's plans. It's not about giving him stuff or information that he doesn't already know. Listen, prayer makes God big in your life. And so he changes you. He changes you through a healthy prayer life. Do you see why this is so important? Do you see why Paul writes to the church in Colossae, the church in Thessalonica, to devote yourselves in prayer, to pray without ceasing? It's not about asking about things. It's about putting your posture before the God of the universe that you want to make him famous. Holy cow, things are going to happen. The world's going to change when his church prays like that. If High Point Church prays like that, God is going to do amazing things. Why? Because he tells us he's going to. Do you believe him? I believe him. I want a deep prayer life. Do you? I want a deep relationship with God. Do you? It starts with understanding your communication with a holy God. Go to him boldly. Go to him frequently. The end of that verse, just real quick as I close. For if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to his children, how much will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You see, this is both an illustration of both salvation and sanctification. There are those of you here who have never put your trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross. And what he is saying is that the Holy Spirit will guide you to an understanding of what genuine repentance looks like. And when the Holy Spirit is working on your life, drawing you, as the Father is drawing you, you must receive and believe and repent. Ephesians chapter 1 says that the Holy Spirit will then, to those who have believed, will seal you with the Holy Spirit to teach you about what Jesus did and said and will be the seal for when you reach glorification at the time of your death, physical death. And to those of us who do know Christ, the Holy Spirit is constantly teaching us this prayer. Constantly teaching us how to pray. Are you listening? If you're here today and you've never trusted him, that is a prayer God wants to answer first. Don't get the cart before the horse. You must put your faith and trust in him. And then like a child, you can cry out, Daddy. Boldly and frequently. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. You are holy and perfect, and we are not. And your grace overflows. It's your grace that has saved us. It's your common grace that lifts us. God, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for teaching us everything that Jesus did and said. Thank you for illuminating the scriptures so that we can understand. God, thank you for your redemption plan. And thank you that we will spend eternity with you, those of us who have put our faith and trust in your work alone. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.